following program was pre-recorded. To ask a question on the air, call 1-800-229-3000 Monday through Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. Welcome to New Life Live, the premier place to receive free advice from Christian psychologists and counselors for the mental, emotional, relational, and spiritual challenges you face. Since 1988, we've offered compassionate responses that combine God's truth with proven psychological principles to guide you toward healing. Our phone lines are open. Call us now at 1-800-229-3000.
Hello to some of our favorite people. That would be you. I'm Brian Perez, and it's time once again for New Life Live. We are sincerely thankful that you've joined us today, so let's get right to it. Licensed professional, clinical counselor, and president of New Life Ministries, Becky Brown, is here, and so is Jill Hubbard. She's a clinical psychologist, and a great one, I might add. Hello, Dr. Jill.
Hello, guys. Well, and Becky. Okay, so I have some random thoughts today. I didn't even know what to title it. Usually I can come up with a clever title. So this is just thievery today. So have you ever headed out to the parking lot and you have that quick panic of, uh-oh, where's my car?
Never.
Oh, my gosh.
That has never happened.
Has it been stolen, right? Only to find out it's in a different row or on a different level, right, of the parking structure. Okay. We've all had that. And so then it's like you're relieved. Okay, and then you say, okay, maybe I just wasn't paying attention, wasn't focused, I'm preoccupied, and life moves on, right? And we count on certain things and realities to be there for us, to hold us, certain structure and framework in life and consistencies. So, well, my friend had that experience, only it was in front of her house, and she came out, and it wasn't, oops, I parked around the corner. Her car was actually stolen. And apparently, there is a new form of stealing called fob cloning, where they can clone and even detect your fob inside your house. So now, was this a nice car? Yes. Was this a nice neighborhood? Yes. My daughter assured me my car will not be stolen. Given my car.
But, I was going to say.
Sorry.
I caught the joke.
Did you get the joke? Come on.
Yes, I did.
We have talked a lot lately about the enemy comes to, you know, steal and destroy and kill, where John 10:10, right, states the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that I may have life and have it to the full. So this is a wonderful verse. Now, you thinking about my friend who lost her car, right? At first, it's like, oh, my gosh, that's so violating, okay? But we're all human. So how many of you might have the thought of, well, it was a really nice car in a nice neighborhood. They can afford it. Right? That thought of envy or jealousy or judgment, right, are quick conclusions about, well, you know, they seem to have excess, and I don't, right? So then there's bitterness. So how quickly does our compassion turn to that, right? And yet, if we step back, because we all have a story, right? If we step back, we see that these people, the work they do, and the, where they use their money is to help others and to provide healing and treatment for other people. If we step back even farther, we see the trials that they went through and the long years of suffering and how they had to rebuild their lives and their reputation to get where they are. So that that perspective is important for all of us to have in our reactions and to not let the thief also steal our joy, our compassion, our humanity, our personal happiness, because that thievery can happen externally, but it happens more times than not internally.
So
our hope, the thing that we can count on, is the one who never changes. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's the only thing that never changes.
That's
everything
right.
else
Amen.
Is open.
Love it.
That's right. This is New Life Live. If you've just joined us, thank you so much for watching and for listening. And we're going to go right to the phones. When we come back from the break, we've got Leslie, Ashley, and Sue all coming up.
Hello, everybody. It's Becky Brown. If you want to be part of what God is doing through New Life, we have a matching gift campaign going on right now. We had a group of donors. They believe in the ministry of New Life. They see how our world needs truth, compassion, needs grace, and it needs some clinical expertise. And so they put together a seed for our matching gift campaign of $250,000. So that means every dollar that you give will be doubled up to that amount, and it will make a difference in the lives of so many people. It helps New Life continue to do the work that we've done for close to 40 years. I want to encourage you, if you want to be part of the match, you can go to newlife.com/match, or you can text the word match to 28950 or call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Wherever you are listening, know that your gift will be doubled and it will make such a difference in the lives of so many people. Thanks in advance.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
And let's go right to the phones. Here is Leslie, who listens on Sirius XM channel 131 in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Welcome, Leslie, to New Life Live.
Hi.
Hi. What's going on? How can we help you?
Well, initially, I think I spoke with you. I said that I was having a hard time with being newly retired. And we live in the rural, so to go and be with people, I have to get in the car and go, which is fine. I have joined a gym twice a week. I'm a believer. I go to a Bible study. I am with other people, but after I was retired, I was so afraid to be in this house alone. And I don't know what that was all about. But in listening to the last, was it Becky? I also now have a problem, well, not now, with jealousy. I thought after I retired, things were going to look differently and my husband and I would be able to travel and go places. However, my husband is a stick in the mud and he doesn't want to go anywhere.
It was Jill.
And I just feel
it was me.
Okay.
Although I'd like to take credit for that. Yeah.
And I'm just in tears.
Yeah.
And in the mornings when I wake up, I get this deep pain, almost like anxiety in the pit of my gut. And all day today, I went to the gym, was interacting with other women. But two ladies that I met there, I knew from years past, and, you know, we get married, have our kids, we go our separate ways, and now we regroup. But they are going on a European cruise in August, and they did invite me, us, to go. But my husband's like, oh, I don't think it's safe. I don't want to do that. This is not the right time. And today we were at the gym, and I overheard her talking to another lady, and this other lady said, so did you make any cruise plans? Oh, yes, we're going to Europe. What can I do about this jealousy? Every time somebody brings up, or when I overhear that somebody is taking a trip or going somewhere, I'm so jealous.
Well, because jealousy is, yeah, because Leslie, jealousy is a strong emotion and it just indicates something that you really want.
Yeah.
And you're mad that somebody else has it. And that's a basic explanation. But I want to go back to the marriage. Do you have a question for us that we can answer?
Well, can I say one thing before you go to the marriage, Becky?
Yeah.
Okay. I think we also have a scarcity mentality. And part of our jealousy is if they have it, you know, they're getting the good stuff and I'm not, right? And there isn't enough to go around. And that just isn't true. So, but well, I do see there's an obstacle with the marriage. So go ahead.
Yeah,
Becky.
That's what my husband said. He said, now's not the right time. I said, I told him, I said, okay, and we're both believers. We've been believers since 82 and we belong to a church. We were active. Mm-hmm. But I said to him, I said, okay, then does that mean that you are going to go somewhere in the United States at some point? He said, yes, I'm not saying we're not ever going to go, but just not right now, because he wanted to retire at 68 and he's going on 71 and he's still working, and it's hard labor what he does. And he was mad about that, that he has to continue to work. And I feel robbed.
Yeah, well, Leslie, here's the other thing, too, is a lot of times, you know, expectations are pre-planned resentments. And so you probably didn't know that you wanted all of this to be happening in your retirement until your work was done. And then the space gets created. Then you hear what other people are doing. So it makes sense. But here's, I want to invite you, you know, maybe a trip that you take is you and your husband go to one of our intimacy and marriage intensives, and you can visit that city as well as get some help on the marriage. I think the resentment, this is where I was going with the marriage part, not just the intimacy and marriage, but here's the thing, though, the challenge, Leslie, that you have is getting rid of the resentment and the bitterness. In Ephesians 4, it talks about getting rid of all of that, and that is your work to do so that when you prepare a time away, and I've seen this so many times, with retired couples or couples who are new into retirement or almost retire, there's all this fussing that starts, and it really is based in anxiety. You're feeling the anxiousness of, wait a minute, this is not what I thought was going to happen, and now I don't, I don't see any end to it, and the panic sets in. And what we need to do is take a big deep breath and go, okay, now what do we need to do in order so that I can come from a secure standpoint? I am not, I don't want to resent him. I don't want to be bitter towards him. I also want to understand his need to continue to work. Is that financial? Is that identity based? Because a lot of times retirement messes up our identity. We don't know who we are without our work.
Especially for men.
Right. And that was me as well. But yeah, I think, he's in the mechanical trade, and we didn't know our grandson went to college with a different degree. When he got out of college, he decides he wants to come to our family business to work, unbeknownst to us. Okay, nobody checked into that. To be an apprentice, you have to work with a licensed plumber.
Right. Right.
My husband is the only one in our company that can do that. And he feels like he owes it to this grandson, to carry on the company.
Right. Leslie, let's reframe that for just a minute. There's resentment on your part because you thought he was going to be done. But look at this. This isn't forever. And what a legacy that he's going to have, knowing that his grandfather taught him this trade. And I know that it isn't the timing that you wanted. We've got to get to a place where it is acceptance. The challenge of acceptance is, it's not that I agree with it or approve of it. I understand this is for a season. And also the challenge, if you guys can think about, because right now you're at a standoff, you're wanting something from him. He's pushing back because it's too much and it's not right now. And I can't even think about it. And it creates panic and pressure for him while he's trying to do something. And so I want you to be able to reframe that to, okay, so like, for example, how many hours does your grandson have left? Like, have you guys even talked about, what does that process look like? So, and you can work through the details and then find spaces where maybe you take a day trip on a weekend, or maybe, don't do all or nothing thinking, because that will keep you in the standoff.
So part of processing, and I have shared this before, if you start with writing down all your resentments, right?
Okay.
And how they're impacting you. And then write who you're resenting, what your resentments are, how they're impacting you, and then what is your part. And that helps to give us some clarity. But then also, okay, what are the things you are appreciating now? Mm-hmm. Right? What a privilege to teach your grandson and to pass things down. But I think, like Becky, what does that exactly have to look like? Like, does your husband have to work full time? Or mm-hmm. does his lending his license, does it just have to be associated and he doesn't mm-hmm. have to work every day of the week full time, mm-hmm. right? Where can there right. start to be some gradual letting go, kind of weaning off and handing the reins over so that you guys have more time? Maybe you get a 3-day weekend. And so you can start to do some of these things that you want and start planning for that instead of everybody else is getting the good stuff and I'm not. And so sometimes we have to stop and pray and thank the Lord that they get to do those things. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, how can I work towards this in my life? Or, Leslie, maybe sometimes you go with your friends and you leave your husband at home.
Yeah.
Lots of times women do that because it just isn't working out for the husband. And so maybe, you know, maybe a smaller trip or something. But thinking about ways you can augment that resentment, own your part of it, right? Lean into what is good about now. And then what can you do?
You know, I'm not a cook. I hate to cook, actually, but I do cook. I keep our family alive. I hate it so much. But I do know one thing. If a pot is boiling, you know what you have to do? Turn that heat down. And you have to find the right level of heat so that the thing keeps cooking, but it doesn't boil over. And Leslie, you guys are at the place of boiling over. So you can't have the conversation that you really, really want to have. And so, you know, just take into consideration, how can I turn this down? And the thing that Jill's talking about, that list making is powerful. Mm-hmm. And ask God to show you, to reveal to you, Lord, show me. I can point out the speck in his eye every day, all day, 10 times on Friday. But show me the log that I've got in my own, because this is the way that you want to finish well in your relationship. Mm-hmm. And I say this not just to you, Leslie, but to all of you couples who are into that retirement, those early years. Don't fuss your way to through this next chapter. It's just your kids don't like it.
You have to think about your energy, too, because when we're upset about something, when we're feeling robbed, we come in with kind of a whiny, angsty energy that is negative. And so we need to take the emotion out of it. And that's why writing things down can help to do that. And lean into what you want, but not from a place of I'm owed this or you owe me this. Hmm. Right? It'll go across, I think, a lot better and won't be that pressure that he's feeling.
Leslie, great hearing from you today here on New Life Live. There's an article on our website, newlife.com. It's called 8 Tips to Stop Anxiety Dead in Its Tracks. So next time you're feeling like this, go read that article, and we'll drop a link to it in the show notes. Thank you so much for calling in today to New Life Live. Sue, we're going to speak with you after we go to Ashley in McKinney, Texas, who listens on KWRD. Hi there, Ashley. Welcome to New Life Live.
Hi.
Hi there. How can we help you today?
I wanted your guys' advice on a situation. My kiddos have laptops. They are 10 and 11. There's really strict rules. I mean, screens always have to be facing where parents can see them. It's done in the living room, and they go in my room if I'm not home. I guess one day when I wasn't there this past week, my son went into our room and got the computers. Yesterday, my daughter told me that I should look at her brother's search history because she opened his computer and there had been naked people on it. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't ready for this conversation with my kids. My son is, I mean, they're homeschooled, so it's not like there's all that. I really thought this conversation would get postponed due to them being homeschooled. But now it's here. We went over 1 Corinthians on all what sexual immorality is, how the devil uses that to stop us from fulfilling God's purpose in our life. And I just don't know at this point, do I let it be, or he's a little boy that's about to hit puberty, and I don't know how little boys think. So what are my best steps to avoiding this? I just don't want the enemy to attack him in a sexual way. He's already a little boy, and that's already something that's harder for men. So what do I do?
Well, Ashley, you know, the thing is, he was a little late to finding it because the statistics tell us that children are seeing pornography as early as 7 and 8. Mm-hmm. So it's because we're on screens and because of the proliferation of the pornography industry that it's everywhere. And so this wasn't because you didn't do enough. But now that you're here, it's going to be conversations all along the way. Mm-hmm. and safeguards and conversations. And it's literally this kind of back and forth. One question I have before we go to break is Dad in the picture? Ashley, is his dad in the picture?
He's very sick. And he's not a Christian. So I honestly haven't even told Dad yet.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll talk about that after the break. Brian?
Yeah. Thanks for calling in today, Ashley. Stay on hold. We'll continue our conversation with you and with Sue as well and everyone else who calls in today to New Life Live. Thanks so much for watching and listening and supporting us and praying for us and the people who call in to New Life Live.
90% of Christians have trouble with sex, have trouble with marriage, have trouble with communicating because we were not ever taught practical basic things about intimacy, about marriage, about sex. We did a huge disservice to ourselves.
When you come to intimacy in marriage, you're going to be immersed into a 3-day process.
They taught us a ton of skills about connecting, about how to really help each other to feel seen and heard.
If you've thought, I don't think we can ever change, we're just in this rut and we can't get out, the Intimacy in Marriage Workshop can help you get out of the rut.
The Intimacy in Marriage Weekend is July 24th through the 26th in Washington, D.C. Register online at newlife.com or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and use the code NLL for a discount. 1-800-639-5433.
I think if everyone came earlier rather than later, they could save themselves years of misery and misunderstanding.
Do you need help for life's hard situations?
My husband recently said he wanted a divorce.
I'm confused on what I should do.
I have an eating disorder.
New Life Live answers your questions on relationships, grief, addiction, trauma, anxiety, and much more, all from a biblical perspective with our panel of professional counselors and psychologists.
I learn a lot from your program.
You help so many people.
I appreciate your ministry.
Whether you listen or watch, there are so many ways to connect with us to ask our panel of counselors a question. Call us Monday through Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific at 1-800-229-3000 to ask your question on New Life Live. Or go to newlife.com/radio for other ways to get your question answered.
I'm trying to find help.
I just want to know how to set boundaries.
If it's a sin, what am I supposed to do?
Need a therapist or a coach, a resource or an intensive? Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Back to Ashley. You still with us, Ashley?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Thanks for holding through the break. So, Becky, what were you asking?
We had some questions.
Ashley, we were asking about the father. Are you divorced from him?
No, we're still married.
Okay, so he's in the house. And
is he physically sick or...
Yeah.
Oh, he is. Okay.
So you don't want to stress him? Is that why you didn't tell him?
I don't want to stress him, but also with him, so he has pancreatic cancer, and he just doesn't feel good. But sometimes he can be a little too harsh because he feels so bad all the time.
Yeah.
And I wanted to approach this 100% the Jesus way. I wanted to go with grace. And I was just afraid that with him not feeling good right now, it would be an anger response.
Mm-hmm.
That he snuck into our room, got the computer type thing, right. And that wasn't the focus for me.
Have you talked to your son about this yet?
Yes. I talked with him. I didn't actually see anything he saw because he had deleted the history, which I didn't know he knew how to do.
Right.
I asked his sister a little bit, and she said the things she saw she didn't want to repeat. So I said, okay, you don't have to. Before people naked, she said yes.
So, you know, when my son came into my room and I had the computer, I told him, I said, I'm going to look up the history and I'm going to know what you saw. He said, well, can you see what's deleted? I said, oh, absolutely. Yeah. But that's when he started crying. And he told me that it was naked people.
So here's the thing. You want to have another conversation with him about those feelings, the crying. He knew that it was wrong. It's it's one of those things that people, you know, we tell people all the time, you know, it's pornography because of how it makes you feel. That's the power of pornography. And I would continue to have the conversation about what God wants for him. But going back to your husband for just a minute, instead of kind of springing this on him and saying, you're never going to believe, you know, our son did this, that, and the other thing. I wonder if you have conversations about raising the children. Like, so him being a young, he's going to be a man someday. What does your husband want for him as a man? And that can be a very good way to have him speak into his life, but not from a, you know, you're in trouble and chastise, all the drama that goes with it. Plus, it honors his connection with his dad. I know that his dad's not a believer, but I just think dad's voice has to be in this somewhere. And sometimes harsh can be okay. And, you know, it's
dads
dangerous.
Dads do have different ways
of
dealing with things. And I understand the dilemma you're in, but I do think, okay, if dad is ill, and I don't know, you know, I'm sorry to say how much time, right? I would think you would want dad to have some influence in son's life. So finding a way to bring dad in, even as a non-Christian, because, I mean, even if he thinks this is men will be men or boys will be boys, not at 11, right? That at 11, and part of your job as parents, and I would even, you know, tell your kids this, is to protect them. To not let the world in too soon, because it's too much for them as they're developing. Mm-hmm. And so that's your job. That, you know, God has given them to you to protect. And so, I mean, there is, I think you have to acknowledge that you broke our rules, and these rules were not to be mean. They were to protect you. It's kind of like Adam and Eve not being able to eat from the tree, and then you eat, and now you know. Right. And I didn't, you know, we didn't want you to see those things this soon. But to move into more of this, okay, this is a teaching moment now, and to continue. I think one of our books,
Preparing Your Son for Every Young Man's Battle.
Yeah, might be a good one for you to go through with him if you don't feel like your husband would be the one to go through that with him. And let's look at this and let's talk about this, because now you've seen things that, of course, you would be curious about. So what questions do you have about that? When Adam and Eve sinned, God called to them, and then he made clothing for them, and he covered them, and he protected them in this new state, and he came up with a new plan. So that's what you have to do, Ashley. It's like, okay.
And Ashley, here's the thing, too. Now you know your computer, your devices have to have passwords that they don't know. You have to also have a conversation with your daughter that thank you for sharing, and not that she has to be the guard at this point, but how did it impact her? That's another conversation.
She's seen the pictures now, too.
Yep. And then
she's ready to never get married or have children.
I know.
Because it's too much. It's too much too soon.
She's too young.
Yeah.
I know.
She's like, so we're not doing that.
Yeah. Well. Right. Well, that's where your opportunity to tell her that's not what God's design is for couples. The other part of this too, Ashley, is you need covenant eyes on your system so that it will alert you if this happens again. This is not about guarding. It's really about safekeeping and preparing them for life outside of your home, outside of your care. It's really about having those conversations, not like for an hour at a time, but along the way.
Yeah, and conversations. Yeah. But also, Ashley, it's not about just you're not going to be able to protect them from everything. So then when stuff leaks in, how do you handle it? And so is a first test for you to say, okay, we got to deal with things so they're prepared. If they don't have any experiences, they aren't prepared when they hit the real world.
100%.
Thanks for calling in to New Life Live.
I went to Every Man's Battle in 2012. My sexual integrity was not what it should have been. I sought out affairs, whether physical or emotional. Until I came to Every Man's Battle, I didn't understand that would never fill that void.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, affairs, pornography.
The shame and guilt was overwhelming.
For over 20 years, New Life Ministries has been helping men regain their integrity through their one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive.
You will discover what the true root of your pain is, and you will discover how to overcome.
You don't have to struggle any longer. Get help in Dallas, Texas, June 5th through the 7th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to register or to find out more. 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. Use the discount code NLL to save $50.
Every man's battle saved my life.
1-800-NEW-LIFE and the discount code NLL. For over 35 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addiction, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
I found a counselor through New Life Ministries, and it's just been outstanding.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first steps toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door for a better tomorrow.
To get someone that's competent, that's good at what they do, it's been like day and night compared to what I've had before.
Call 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
So for our previous caller, Ashley, we recommended a book called Preparing Your Son for Every Man's Battle. We're going to put a link to that in the show notes. And also there's an article on newlife.com called How to Help Your Teen Resist the Lure of Porn. So we'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. Back to the phones now. Here is Sue, who listens to us on WAVA in Washington, D.C. Welcome, Sue, to New Life Live.
Thank you.
Hi, thanks for calling in. How can we help you?
I am calling to ask what might sound like an odd question, but I have acute anxiety, depression, and I have episodes. I'm going through a really bad one right now. And for some reason, I've always resisted medication. I'm not 100% sure why, but one of the questions on my mind, is wondering how can a pill, again, an odd question, not a very educated one, but how can a pill influence or affect your mind? That's something that I don't understand.
Do you understand how a pill like ibuprofen affects your headaches?
I do.
Okay.
I can see how a pill affects a part of your body, and I know your mind is a part of your body, but I just don't see how it acts the same way in terms of your mood or your thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So
I know it's pretty remarkable. It does work on the neurotransmitters in the brain, and it kind of controls or interrupts the flow and the reuptake of certain neurotransmitters. So when you're depressed and anxious, anxiety, you're getting dumped with cortisol and depression, like everything in your body's depressed. So it intervenes to interrupt that which is happening for you so that you can have more of what you need to be at a more stable place. So drugs are not, or the psychotropic medication, they're not miracle cures, but they do lift the bottom up to help bring you more to a middle ground. And with anxiety, they help to calm that top of the anxiety. So again, so that you can return to kind of a thinking place where you can make better choices and be more yourself. But
okay.
So Sue, but in long term, what have you done to manage this, if you have had this?
I have been to a lot of different groups and you know, talk therapy mostly.
Okay.
I have I've been on medication for short periods of time, a couple of times, and for some reason I've been so nervous and afraid of it, quite frankly, just afraid, that I didn't follow through on it very well. So I've been kind of inconsistent.
Well,
and then
go ahead.
I'm in my 70s now, so I also wonder if there's an age limit on medication.
Well, I think the age might affect the dosage level. Sometimes we become more sensitive to medications as we age. So it sounds like you've done some good things. I mean, studies have shown that doing, you know, medication alone doesn't do everything, that having therapy along with medication for some people is really most optimal. So often the anti-anxiety meds are quicker acting and go in and out of your system more quickly, but the meds for depression often need time to build up in your system. So if you're just, if you've only tried it for a short time, you're really not getting the benefit of it. And we also know that as people age, depression, anxiety often rise, especially with loneliness or lack of activity, friends dying, things like that can cause issues. So I think you want to do everything you can to make these years, because you still have time left, right? To make these years wonderful and not just want to withdraw. Which makes it worse.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah.
Becky, any thoughts from you?
Well, yeah, I'm thinking, Sue, it makes sense to me that you don't trust medication because that's a feature of feeling anxiety. And then the other part of that is the depression.
Can you hear us?
Hello?
Oh, you kind of went blank there. I heard you say the future of, and then I didn't hear anything else.
Okay.
Oh, your future is bright. That's what Jill was saying. and Sue, what I was saying though is that it makes sense to me that you're not trusting of medication because that's a feature of anxiety. Anxiety is the fear of not having control. That's a basic feature of it. But also the depression can cause depression, like your thinking isn't correct. It's very hard to...
It narrows your thinking.
Yeah. And the other part about depression is that you don't really know how bad you feel until you feel better.
Yeah.
But with so many people in this dynamic, though, it's not one thing, it's a bunch of things. So it is the group, it is therapy, it is medication. And the hard part about medication is that it's really hard to figure out what works best for you. You know, and so I would say if you want relief, I think that's where you start, Sue, is you say, how do I want to experience life? Do I want to get rid of this crippling anxiety, this depression. Okay, what do I know that I have as resources? And if you have a good connection with a therapist and a psychiatrist, and get, it's not a one time, we're just going to do this, and then for the next 30 years, we're going to ride it out. It doesn't work that way. But it's not losing hope that I can figure this out. I can, you know, I can have good structure around me to help me move forward in my experience of life.
Well, and Sue, I think a lot of times, too, there is no perfect solution, and certainly there are no perfect meds. And they do have some side effects. They've really worked to have minimal, and you have to get through the side effects first. They usually will dissipate after 2 weeks, and then you have to stay on it long enough to have the benefit. If you can't tolerate it, you'll know within the first day or two. That you can't tolerate it. And then you talk to your doctor and you stop. I lost what I was going to say. Becky,
well,
what were you gonna say?
While you're thinking, yeah. I was going to say, here's a non-medication proven resource for anxiety and depression. It's walking. And it's not running. It's literally walking every day outside if possible. And you don't have to be a marathoner, but Sue, there is a dynamic in the way that our bodies move, the way that we experience the outdoors. It actually impacts our brain structure, and that is proven. There's tons of studies
absolutely
that prove that.
Yeah, and changing your diet. So there's all kinds of non-medication things that you can try. There are also meds, and this is what I was going to say, that have that are antidepressants that have a calming agent with them, like a Lexapro, and people can go on a very low dose and actually receive a lot of benefit. So you talk with your doctor about different options, and you let yourself just do a good trial. So let's say you're going to do it for 6 weeks and see if it helps. If you can tolerate it, then do it for 6 weeks and see if it's made a change. And so there's this risk benefit that we look at. What are the risks versus what is the benefit of this? And if the benefit outweighs the risk, right, knowing that nothing is perfect, then sometimes that's worth a try for the quality of life that we want to have.
Sue, thanks so much for calling in today to New Life Live. Thanks for listening to us there in Washington, D.C. on WAVA. And throughout the year, we hold weekend workshops across the country to help men fighting for their sexual integrity, women who've been wounded by sexual betrayal, and married couples living as just roommates. All of our intensives are led by licensed Christian counselors who combine biblical principles with practical help to jumpstart your healing. Thousands of people have found hope for a new life at a weekend workshop, and you can too. Visit newlife.com for all the upcoming dates and locations. We hold these throughout the year, so check that out at newlife.com. We'll be right back in just a few minutes here on New Life Live. Sandy, we're going to talk to you in just a little bit. My name is Brian Perez, here with Becky Brown and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Find out all about us at newlife.com. Follow us on social media too. Sign up for our newsletter and our daily devotional. We'll be back.
Hello, it's Becky Brown. I am so excited to launch our 99 for the One partner initiative. Every day we hear from people all over the world who are looking for hope. They've been lost in a relationship struggle, addiction, anxiety, depression, all kinds of ways. And it reminds us of the story in Luke 15, where the shepherd that leaves the 99 to go rescue the one. And, you know, we've seen God work in the lives of so many people over the years here at New Life, and we want to invite you to be part of what God is doing. 99 for the One is our partner program that you can give to the ministry on a monthly basis to make sure that we continue to reach out to the lost.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433, or newlife.com/99-for-one.
There's a place where real healing begins, where truth meets grace, and where transformation starts. New Life Recovery Groups offers a Christ-centered, supportive community for growth, healing, and restoration. Built on a proven 12-step foundation and grounded in biblical truth, these groups help bring clarity, accountability, and lasting hope for those who are ready for change. And when deeper personal guidance is needed, one-on-one coaching and counseling are available, walking with you every step of the way. Here, lives are renewed, stories are rewritten, and hope is restored. You're not alone. You're not judged. You're welcomed into a community that believes God is still at work in your story. Take the next step toward healing. Join a New Life Recovery Group today, online or in person. Visit newlife.com/groups or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find healing. Find community. Find new life.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
How about we go up to the Northwest, Olympia, Washington, to speak with Sandy, who listens to us on KACS. Hi there, Sandy. Welcome to New Life Live.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Yeah. How can we help you?
Yeah. I need some guidance in some decision-making I need to make. About 40 years ago, I'm going to make this short. I'll try. My husband and I were separated. I left the family. We had three children. And I came back. When I came back, I was pregnant. My husband forgave me. He accepted the child. And then a couple years later, we did it all over again. I came back home after about 4 months, and I was pregnant. Mm. And my husband forgave me. And he loved that child just like the others. And my problem is we've never told the kids. We've never told them. They are like 40 years old. And I don't know what to do. My husband doesn't want to tell them. Hmm. I don't feel like we should keep it the secret. I mean, I don't want to hurt them.
Yeah. Your husband doesn't want them to know because...
No.
Because he loved them as his own.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. I'm imagining exactly. He doesn't want to be diminished in their eyes as not
exactly.
being legit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He feels like, he's adopted them.
Yes.
In God's eyes. Mm-hmm. And we God has adopted us. And
these men, Sandy, excuse me, they didn't know that you were pregnant each time?
I'm sorry, what's that?
The men that...
the fathers of the children.
The sperm donors, they didn't know you were pregnant?
Well, one of them does. One of them is actually a family member.
Oh, okay.
The other one is not, I haven't heard from him in... ever.
Mm-hmm. All right, Sandy, the family member, brother-in-law, brother, where does it fit?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, brother-in-law.
Okay,
so here's, I'll let Jill be the softie on this, but here's the thing that I know for sure. Every human being mm-hmm. deserves to know their birth story.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so this isn't about parental neglect or anything. This is literally the people that brought me into the world, like you just said, Jill, the mm-hmm. sperm donor, the mm-hmm. egg donor. I deserve to know the truth about this as a human being. And I've worked with lots of different folks over my career that have either been adopted or have had situations like yours, Sandy. This is not unusual. You're not the first or won't be the last. Mm-hmm. But what I do know is the people who, whether it's the adoptee or in your situation, they deserve to know. And what happens so many times in like this, nobody says anything, and then they get to be adults. And then I've even had cases where the father passes away before the person can get to know them. Now, the other part of this too is the kids, the adults that you have different fathers from the one that raised them, they're going to have their own journey about how to handle this. And sometimes it can be a matter of just sharing the facts. Listen, I need to tell you that you were not from your father, but from another man that occurred. And it's going to be hard, Sandy. This is not easy to talk about. But I land on the fact that the person deserves to know who their birth parents were. And whatever happens after that, that's very different for every single person. Because there are some people that find the birth father and like, okay, thanks, I know you now, and I'm just going to go on with my life. Like, it's not, there's not a connection there. But, you know, there can be all kinds of reasons for health and all that. But it's,
Even more than knowing those fathers, because your husband was clearly their father.
Yes, right.
And some people biology. Want to know and some people don't, but it's just biology and the fact that they can find out. And you don't want them to be surprised when they're doing Ancestry.com or the DNA.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Because that's how people find out when there is something. And so then that's not a good thing. So your husband, I totally understand where he is coming from.
Right.
But in loving these children as his own, then it's about, you know, we parents, we sacrifice and we put ourselves sometimes on the back seat for the good of the child. In this case, they are adult children. And so it's loving them enough and trusting in the relationship that he has built over the years, that if they know this, I mean, they might be mad initially. You lied to us. Blah, 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 blah. They might be mad about that.
Yeah.
I've known people where it's like, oh, I always felt different in my family and I could never pinpoint it. Mm-hmm. This makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. Right?
Well, and to your point, Jill, about the ancestry, Sandy, I would want you to be the deliverer of the information. It will decrease the big reaction of why didn't you tell me? You're still going to get that, but
I'm wondering too if
I didn't quite understand that I should be the one to deliver
versus 23andMe or medical test
or the father that knows and that may reach out, because I mean that happens. We've had that happen too, where the person who's been out of the relationship says, "Hey, you know what? This is my child that I gave birth that I brought into the world. I want to have a relationship with them." And then it gets real tricky.
Well, okay, true. I guess the one that you don't have contact with, you don't have to reach out to. The family member already knows.
Right.
Right. And if they're an uncle, I've known families where you keep being the uncle or you keep being the aunt.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because...
Well, he hasn't been in the picture. I mean... my husband and him my husband's forgiven him, but we don't see him.
Okay.
He's got another life somewhere.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
So, how do you feel about that, Sandy? What we've talked about?
I feel like, one of the things, I agree with you. I feel like that they need to know. But I'm afraid also of what this is going to do to my relationship with my husband, because he's saying no. He says that it will tear apart our family. And I don't think it will. I mean, the kids, you know, they're probably going to be really mad at me, and I'm okay with that. I don't want to be dead and gone someday and have them find out
Sandy, maybe if you guys can meet with a therapist to talk
you and your husband
some of that, because
talk through his fears.
These are all understandable, but it's worth exploring for sure and having.
It's something that does need to be really planned out. So I like the idea of you and your husband working through it first, and let's just go and put everything on the table. What we did, you know, or what we haven't done, what I want to do, what you don't want to do, and let's talk it all through.
Yeah. Sandy, thanks for calling in today to New Life Live, and let me take a moment to thank the wonderful supporters of New Life Ministries. It's because of you that lives are being changed every day through New Life. Your support brings real hope through daily radio broadcasts and podcasts that speak truth and healing into hurting hearts, transformative workshops that guide people through deep healing, connection to counseling and support for those ready to break free from pain and shame, and biblically based resources that offer clarity, encouragement, and direction. Give online at newlife.com. Consider becoming one of our monthly supporters as well at newlife.com/9941. God bless you guys. We'll talk to you next time on New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.
The preceding program was pre-recorded.